How many of you are here? Let me see your hand. All right. God bless you. I'm glad you're here tonight. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord. I enjoyed this morning and the service and the baptism and all the things that God blessed us with. It's good to have some of the fruit of my labor here tonight. Brother Montes, he's here tonight. 35 years ago, I baptized him in Japan. 35 years ago. It's good to have my wife here. Of course, she and I have been married 62 years, and that's a lifetime. And our grandson and his wife and our little great-granddaughter, it's good to have them here tonight, and it's good for us to be here. And my wife and I, we started out years ago, and a fellow called me from Japan 35 years ago and wanted to know if I'd come and give him a break and relieve him a little bit. And so my wife and I, we're not missionaries. I'm an evangelist. There's a difference between a pastor and an evangelist. An evangelist has five messages in a fast getaway car. And the pastor, he stays there and takes his punches there with the congregation. But they called me and asked me to come to Japan. And my wife and I gathered up the money and flew over there. And we got into Tokyo and got on an old Air Force bus, and Air Force never did have anything to run. And so we got up to Misawa, Japan, and I met the missionary, and I didn't like him and he didn't like me. And we started back to the place where he lives, and he said, "Now, I'm only going to tell you this one time, and we're not going to talk about it." He said, "We're going back to America, and we're not coming back." Well, the next morning, he and his family got on a plane and flew off, left Nancy and I standing there in Japan with no support, no money, and about 35 ugly people. So I went down to the church, and she said, "What are we going to do?" I said, "I'm going to preach the devil out of this place so I can pastor these people." And so I started preaching, and it wasn't long until folks started coming. And I was out knocking on doors 35 years ago, and I knocked on Monty's door 35 years ago, and they came to church that night, and I preached the Word of God, and Tammy got saved. Nancy led her to the Lord. We had a good time, and then I baptized them. And God has blessed in his ministry down through the years all across this country. He finished up his tour in the Air Force, went to college, went back and pastored that church for 15 years, and then went to Okinawa and pastored there, and God has used him in a great way all across America, and we thank God for that. But I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to preach a short message. I've always wanted to. If you get in before I do, go on home. I'm kind of used to it. But we've been in evangelism 43 years, and we've been in all the states and most of the countries. I preach a lot in Puerto Rico and all across America and Canada, Alaska. And God has blessed. And we thank God for that. This little girl came to her mother and said, "Mother, my stomach hurts. My stomach hurts." And the mother said, "Well, honey, that's because it's empty. You don't have any food in it. You don't have anything in your stomach. That's why it hurts." So the next day, the pastor shows up. He was sitting there talking. He said, "I've got a headache." And the little girl said, "I know what's wrong with you. You don't have anything in your head." And so that kind of goes along with, you know. But anyway, it's like a little boy came up to this pastor, his preacher, and he said, "Preacher, when I get old enough, I'm going to give you some money." I said, "Well, why are you going to give me some money?" "My daddy said you're the poorest preacher we've ever had." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's start reading with verse 9. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God, then remain standing for prayer right before we make the application tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 11. 9. For I am the least of the apostles, yet am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me. Our Father, I thank you so much for this good day you've given to us. Thank you for the good song service, for the fellowship of the saints of God. And Father, we're privileged tonight to be able to congregate together in the house of the Lord. And I pray as we've opened the Word of God, you'd open our hearts tonight. I pray you'd give us listening ears to what the Spirit of God would have to say to us. Lord, encourage the saints of God and save the lost, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on a little bit on the subject, I am what I am. The Apostle Paul was having some problems in the church. They started questioning him and his apostleship. The church was having some problems, and then Paul was trying to tell them what the problem was. And they started questioning the Apostle Paul to find out if he was actually an apostle or not. Tongues had moved into the church. They started speaking in unknown tongues. And Paul is trying to tell them about the actual thing and how about the tongues. And Paul, they started questioning him about the church. And my wife and I have been in evangelism for 43 years. I have seen all across our land, I've seen churches change. I've seen things coming into the church, my friend, and the pastor never does rebuke anything. He just kind of lets it go. And Paul was there trying to tell them that tongues are not for this generation, not them. My mother got stuck on tongues, and she tried to speak in an unknown tongue. And I can remember going there, and she was thinking that she was not right with God because she could not interpret, she could not speak in tongues. There was a man across town, and he believed in tongues and believed all the things that was going on. My wife was in the hospital, and he came to the hospital and said, if you believe God and really could speak in tongues and knew all about it, you wouldn't be in the hospital. It wasn't long until he died, and my wife walked out. Paul's trying to tell them, you're saved by the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And Paul is trying to tell them that he's saved by the grace of God. And he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Did you know you will always be what you are by the grace of God? You can never be anybody but what you are. You are what you are by the grace of God. And when Jesus comes into your heart, he makes you a creature of Christ Jesus. I turned 19 in Korea. I'm 84 years old. I can remember when the war was ending and all the things were coming together and the big booms were going off. And we were in a foxhole. And there we were, and I thought, you know what, are they going to drop something on us? Are they going to blow us out of these places tonight? I'd reach in my Bible and get my little Gideon Bible they gave us when we went in the Marine Corps. I tried to read and I tried to find God. I couldn't find him. I thought that we would die there on that battlefield. April 3rd, 1958. My wife and I had gotten married. I'm from Kentucky, and I went up north and married me a Yankee wife. Got me a Yankee woman. And there in that little house, April 3rd, 1958, I'd gotten out of the Corps. Things were not going good. I had some problems doing other things. And it wasn't good at all. April 3rd, 1958, a little knock came on our door. And I opened the door, and there stood a preacher and his wife with a Bible. We invited him in. He came in, and my wife and I sat down on a little couch there in Illinois. He opened up the Bible. And there in the Bible, he showed us how that we could be in Christ Jesus. I remember him explaining it to us, and we got out on our knees that night. We had Jesus to come into our heart and to be our Savior. I got up that night, and I felt so different. We went into the kitchen. I put my arms around my wife, and everything was different. We poured some stuff down the drain and got rid of some other stuff. I was smoking about 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes a day and doing other things. And I reached in to get a cigarette, and the Holy Spirit of God said, "You don't need those anymore." I've never smoked another cigarette after that. And God started working in my life. Little did I know what God had in store for me. I did not know what God wanted me to do at that time. I said, "Dear Lord, please help me to be a millionaire." My folks were migrant workers. I went to the third grade in school. I said, "Lord, help me to be able to help other people across the country. Make me a millionaire." And I started selling car tires, and I started building a tire company. I'd knock on doors, 7,000 doors, lead them to Christ. And then I'd say, "I happened to notice your car tires when I came in." How in the world are they going to say no? I started taking orders across the town and renting gas stations, having customers going here, all these things. And things started happening, and I started sending some missionaries, helping missionaries, doing all these things. And God started blessing, and I built a building and had a property and all the rest of it. And God was blessing. And one night I walked through the building, and I saw the inventory. I saw what we were doing. My wife was getting ready to buy another home, and we had a new home. I had all these things, and I saw it all. And I said, "Lord," I fell down in a pile of dirt in that business, and I fell down. The men had gone home, and the lights were and everything, and I fell down in that pile of dirt, and I said, "Lord, take it all. I want to be in a perfect will of God. I want to do what you want me to do, Lord." I went home that night, and I didn't tell my wife, and the devil hit us. And when the devil came in, my wife went to the hospital. I was there in the hospital with my wife, and the doctor came and said, "I don't think she'll live the rest of the night." He said, "I've got to operate on her quick." And the siren blew, and about that time, here came our son on the other end of the hospital with acute appendicitis. I was walking from one bed to the other, back and forth, wondering what to do. And I came and fell down to the side of my wife's bed after the doctor was getting ready to operate that night. And I said, "Honey, I've given everything away." I said, "I've already committed it to the Lord." She said, "What are you going to do? What are we going to do?" I said, "I don't know. And I said, we want to do what God wants us to do. By the grace of God. I wrote to some colleges after that, and they laughed at me. There's no place for you. The best thing you can do is stay out of the way. Let the educated people do the preaching. You need to stay out of the way. You're just an old Kentucky boy. There's no place for you. I came to Tennessee Temple University. Talked to Dr. Lee Robertson. I was 40 years old. I said, Dr. Robertson, God wants me to do something special for him. And I need some education. Come on, boy, you can study with us. I went to the college at 40 years old with my wife and two children and a homesick dog. And started studying the Word of God. I graduated from college on the dean's list with a perfect score. And I walked across the college in my little dress, had my little dress on, had my little ding-a-ling hanging down. Walked across the platform, and I found out what that thing is. That's a dangling modifier. Every English teacher in that college had me. Tutored me and everything else to get me through. And little did I know what God wanted me to do in this life. And here we find the Apostle Paul, saved by the grace of God, trying to do what God wanted him to do. And they said to the Apostle Paul, he said, I am the least of the apostles, but I am what I am. I want you to notice the grace of God in suffering. Nobody suffered any more than the Apostle Paul did. We have recorded in the Word of God where Paul was in a shipwreck going to Rome. All that they had was destroyed on the ship. And there came a time in that period of time when the Bible says there was no hope. And Paul knew that God wanted him to go to Rome. And Paul said to those men, there be nobody's life lost, only the ship. Only what we carry will be lost, but every man will be saved. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. His friends all left him, and he spent years in prison, the Apostle Paul. And if we go back and study the book of Philippians and see how many times he used the word joy in prison, how many times he used the word rejoice in prison. Because Paul knew what God wanted him to do. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. His grace has saved him. Then the suffering came. My wife and I only had two children. The last message I preached before I stood before the casket of our son was a visit to the potter's house. Jeremiah had gone down to the potter's house. He was working on some clay. Clay was mired in his hand, all broken up and fall off the wheel. Jeremiah would pick up the clay and he'd take all the impurities out and put it back on the wheel and turn it again. He had something in mind for that place of clay. God has something in mind when we go through suffering. I preached that down in Fort Smith, Arkansas, And our son was transferred from Collegedale, Tennessee to Gentry, Arkansas with Little Debbie snack cakes to help them build the plant out there. He was over their transportation department, the trucks. And after I preached that night, we were on our way to Peoria, Illinois to start a revival meeting. We went up and spent the night with him. He and his little son, we got up the next morning and had prayer before we left, and we knelt there. His little son was there, and he was there, and we knelt and we prayed. He hugged my neck, and he said, "Dad," he said, "let me know where you are from time to time." We left. We got to Illinois, and at 1:30 in the morning, the phone rang. He told me what had happened. There had been an explosion in the plant there, and he was burned severely. And he'd been airlifted to Little Rock, Arkansas Hospital. And they told me what was happening and all this, and I knew that he was dying. I knew we had to drive that night from 1 o'clock, 1:30, to Little Rock, Arkansas, from Peoria, Illinois. I remember as we started driving that night, I couldn't tell Nancy what would happen when we got there. I knew he would be dead or dying. We got there the next morning at 10 o'clock. And we went in to met the nurse there, and she took us back to where our son was being there in the hospital. And we went back, and I put my arms around my wife, and we stood there and looked at our son. He was 29 years old at that time, and we stood there, and I prayed and asked God for direction. We walked into a little room, she and I did. Well, we walked out of there, and we met the doctor, and he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Your son cannot live." I said, "I know that. I know that." We walked into a little room and we got down on our face before God. All we had was the Bible. That's all. Folks started calling across the country, "Preacher, what can we do for you?" "Nothing." "Preacher, let us send you some money. Let us help you, preacher." "There's nothing you can do." "What are you going to do when you bury your son?" "We'll go back to preaching the Word of God." 2 days after we buried him in Arkansas, I was in Sarasota, Florida. Preached a week of revival meeting. Had the car loaded on Friday night. After I preached on Friday night, I got in the car and drove from Sarasota, Florida to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Preached 2 weeks to revival meeting, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. "Preacher, do you hurt just like the other people?" "Paul suffered many things. All through his ministry, Paul suffered. But he said, I am what I am. By the grace of God." The suffering will come. My friend, when you start serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is real. The devil will try everything he can to stop you. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're on the victory side tonight. Jesus is alive forevermore. My friend, we can always rely on that. But Paul, on his way to Damascus, a light shined down. And the light came down, and Paul fell to the earth and said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And the light will change your direction in this life. Paul is a persecutor, going to live there to persecute the church of God. And a light came down from heaven. And Paul fell to the earth. And Paul changed his whole direction in life. When you get saved, your direction changes in life. Paul never got over his salvation. If you ever get over the place where you met the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in trouble. Paul could always go back to that place where he met the Lord. And Paul's life changed. When I got saved, I said, Lord, I need an anchor. He gave me 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's my last verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Jesus made me a new person inside. And I never got over that. Never got over it. No, you see his salvation. But we see something else. His dedication changed. Not only did his dedication changed, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? How long has it been since you got along with God? Lord, what do you want me to do? What's my mission in life? What do you want me to do? Paul said, you go down there and I'll show you what you're to do. Wait upon the Lord and let the Lord direct you. The minister you have. See, your destination changes. I remember when we got ready to go to school, I'd let everything, sold everything out, and everything was gone but the house. And my wife said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to back a truck up there, and we're going to load it out, and if the house don't sell, we're going to leave it. We backed the truck up and started loading the stuff, and the guy came along and bought the house while we were loading the stuff. See, the salvation, the grace of God will supply your needs. Paul said, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's great, sufficient for salvation. It's sufficient for security. And then his destination. Paul did not know at that time what God had for him. In Philippians chapter 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. My wife and I started out with nothing, and we've still got it. I told her the other day when I have everything spent and everything taken care of, I said, I want to have everything taken care of and all that, and all the checkbooks and everything. And she looked and she said, you're right on schedule. You don't have a thing. Have everything spent. You're right on schedule. God will supply your needs. We started out. I haven't had a salary, don't need one. We started out with nothing. God started supplying our needs. I've had 2 cars given to me this past year. I was preaching in Ohio and I was getting ready to go to Oklahoma. And I had to put my old car in the garage because the fuel pump had gone out of it. And I preached that night and we were getting ready to go to Oklahoma from Ohio. And Pastor said, Brother Neil's car is in the garage. And said, he's got to get it out because he's got to leave tomorrow. Need a fuel pump. After I got done preaching, a guy came up to me and he said, I want to give you my car. And I said, I thought he was joking. It's a $40,000 car. I thought he was just joking. And we went back to the room that night and he said, you go back and you pray about it and meet me in the morning at the bank and I'll sign the title over to you. And so we went back and I told my wife and we talked about it and laughed about it. And I said, I think he's joking. I said, the only way that I'll take that car if his wife comes to the bank and she's in agreement. I said, I don't want to start no family feud and get somebody killed and about this car. I went to the bank the next morning, and he and his wife showed up, and I said, now, what do you think about all this? And she was more happier than he was to give us that car. So we went in, signed the title, and hopped in it and took off to Oklahoma. What happened to your car? I don't know. It's still I think it's still in the garage. And God started blessing that. We drove all around the country with that car. I came back, and it was almost a new car. And it had a leak in the motor. And the guy said, well, that's going to cost you about $4,000. I said, no. I said, I don't have $4,000. I said, I just had to pray about that. And he said, why don't we just trade? He said, I got one just came in here that's been on a consignment. It's just come in. It's got 42,000 miles on. He said, we'll just trade. They said, it's just like a new car. And he figured it up, and he said, well, that's $8,000 different. I said, no, I can't do that. I don't have $8,000. Next morning, a guy called me and said, Brother Neil, I just put $10,000 in your checking account. I said, okay, we'll go ahead and trade cars. But God will supply your needs. And Paul said, I am what I am. By the grace of God. God's grace in salvation. God's grace in suffering. God's grace in supplying our needs. Every need was supplied for the Apostle Paul. I read something the other day that on the eve of D-Day, June the 6th, 1944, when the Allies invaded France in World War II, General Eisenhower briefed his soldiers thus, there is no victory at bargain price. He knew that the sandy beaches of Normandy would be covered with blood and mingled bodies of heroic men. My wife and I stood on Omaha Beach last year. We walked through the cemetery and took pictures of that cemetery. Thousands of men gave their life for our freedom in America. And that will do something to you when you walk through that cemetery. We walked down on the beach where mingled bodies were lying everywhere. I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Pearl Harbor was hit. I know what it did for our country in that time. I've been in Hawaii many times. I've stood out on the ship. I watched the oil bubble up off the Arizona. Heroic men have given their life for our freedom. And here we have, by the grace of God, in security. The grace of God in supplying and the grace of God in securing. Our salvation is secured. You could not get me unsaved if you wanted to. I'm saved by the grace of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's God's grace that saved us. God's grace that keeps us. We go through. When our son died, and they didn't want me to preach the funeral. I prayed and I asked God, I said, Lord, who could I get to preach that funeral? And up there in Illinois, there's a young guy. that our son knew, and I asked him, I've got a picture here, I asked him if he'd come down and preach our son's funeral. He came down reluctantly and preached the funeral. He didn't want to. But he preached that funeral. And a year later, I was given an invitation over in Ohio. As I was given the invitation, the phone rang, and the guy came running down the aisle and had the phone. And, Brother Neil, somebody's on the phone. They're crying. They want to talk to you. I picked up the phone, and it was Brother Newman on the other end. The guy preached our son's funeral 1 year later. He was in Illinois, and I was in Ohio at that time. And he said, Brother Neil, will you come and help me bury my two daughters? There's just been a car accident, and they've been killed, both of them, coming home from college. Coming home from college, and he said, Brother Neil, would you come and help me bury my two daughters? My wife and I went there and helped him do that by the grace of God. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It was God's grace that saved him. It was God's grace that secured him and all of his needs. If you're here tonight, I don't know what you're going through. If you're not a Christian, if you'll come tonight and just say, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Invite Jesus into your heart. He'll save you. It was so simple the night that my wife and I got saved. We just asked Jesus to come into our heart, forgive us of our sins. And our life changed. Our life changed. If you're here tonight, you say, Preacher, I don't know if Jesus would come back, if I'm ready to meet him or not. Let's stand with bowed heads.